So great to be with you this morning. Thank you for tuning in on the online and being here this morning. For those that don't know me, I'm Kobus. I have the privilege of being the pastor of this congregation, and it's an amazing congregation. I stand in awe of who God is adding to this family, and that we can serve Him together and see His kingdom come in this world today. And I think I am so excited for what is about to happen. You know, if you just think of this, if God takes everything that the enemy is meaning for evil right now and He turns it around for good, what's going to come? Nah? So I hope you are expectant for that which is coming, because it's not all bad. Nah? If you watch YouTube and you read certain articles and you listen to stuff, then it's all bad. But we have a future and a hope, and this is so cool. And we can rejoice in the Lord every day regardless of the news. Yeah. Nah? Yeah. So, lekker. So this morning, as I was preparing for this morning, I just heard one sentence actually for probably the last 2 weeks in my ears, and that is that the kingdom of God is an advancing kingdom. It's a kingdom that moves forward. It's a kingdom that's not stationary. It keeps on moving. And I really just believe that we need to explore this morning. So I want to start off with a question and say, if you hear the kingdom of God, what do you hear? You know, in your mind, if you hear the kingdom of God, what do you relate that to? What is happening? You know, what will you engage if that is the sentence that comes to you? The kingdom of God. If you, you know, just in your daily walk, in your daily living, your work and so on, if you think about the kingdom of God, what does that entail? You know, is it religion? Is it something, you know, is this the kingdom that we're gathering on Sundays? Is it, you know, what does the kingdom look like to you? You know, for some people it might be, you know, the moment you hear that, you hear religion. You hear certain rules and stuff that you need to obey or whatever, you know. So what is happening in your mind? Do you maybe hear boring? Some people think Christians are boring. And I think some Christians are boring. That's of course not me. I mean, come on. Do you hear a building? Do you hear people? What do you hear? What goes on in your mind when you hear the word, the words kingdom of God? A plaque. Perfect place. Streets of gold, you know. Come on, we're moving in with you. See, what does that mean to you? And how does that influence your life? How does the kingdom of God relate to your life? And I want you to deliberately sit and just quickly pause and think in your own mind, what does that mean to you? What is the picture you have? What will you engage when you hear that sentence? You know, we pray in the Our Father, let your kingdom come. What are we praying? What are we hoping for? What are we wanting to see? We sang so much of it this morning. So what is that to you in me this morning? And as I said, I want you to think about that. How does it look in your daily life? How does the kingdom of God look in your daily life? Is there power? Is there joy? What do you see when you think of the kingdom of God? Do you hear forgiveness? Do you hear reconciliation? Do you hear healing, miracles, a father that loves us? What do you hear? Does the fact that the kingdom of God has come excite you? When you pray, Father, let your kingdom come, does that excite you? Does that stir something in your heart that you're going, yes, when this happens, things are about to change. You know, when you pray for your work and you say, God, let your kingdom come, what are you expecting? You see, if God has to pitch, you know, that sentence in the New Testament Jesus says to the person, let it be according to your faith. I always wonder when He says to us, when we pray that and He says, let it be to you according to your faith, what will happen? Creak, 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 creak. Nothing. Because our expectation is that big? Or maybe our understanding of what we're desiring is zilch. You know, maybe you're thinking, wegraping. You know, we're just out of here. Jesus, I'm coming home. Let your kingdom go. Oh, never mind, I'm coming there. I think some people pray that, Father, let your me come to you. Kingdom. You see, the kingdom of God is advancing. It's not a static kingdom. It's not frozen. The things of this world cannot hinder it. You know, I had a conversation with someone actually earlier, and they said that this person believes that if something happens, that you're actually coming under the world order, and, you know, you're out of protection. And I go, so my God is actually that weak that he cannot protect me even in that situation. And that freaks me out, because if the kingdom has come, if it is in me, then I can go with boldness into places where others would not go. And he is with me, and his blessing is, his power is there, and everything is available for me in that space. But this is the thing. What do I expect? What do I see when I hear the kingdom of God? You see, is there limitations to the kingdom of God? And if there are, what is that? What causes that to happen? What hinders or limits the kingdom of God in my life, in the expression of God's kingdom around me? What is that? You see, because if I believe that, it will cause me to actually walk in fear in certain places, wouldn't it? I will be scared to engage certain things because simply I don't know if God's going to be there. Now, as far as I understand Scripture, it says he's omnipresent. He's everywhere. There's nothing that's hidden from him. So how can I go anywhere and he's not there? But I think sometimes we live like he just cannot be there. You know, God cannot pitch there. Oh, my word. You know, that's the devil's place. God doesn't go in there. Man, he's God. If he goes in there, whew, stuff's going to happen. Psalm 145, it reads as follows, verse 10 to 13. It says, all your works shall give thanks to you, O Lord, and all your saints shall praise you. They shall speak of the glory of your kingdom. They shall tell of your power to make known to the children of man your mighty deeds and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all generations. The Lord is faithful in all his works and kind in all his works. What is the result of the kingdom? How do we know when we see the kingdom? This psalm says it so beautifully. But beautifully, it says, like, the people will speak of your glory. You know, when you encounter Jesus, when you encounter the kingdom of God, you cannot help but speak about it. I mean, come on. When you encounter Jesus, suddenly it stirs stuff. You cannot deny that he is God. And then what happens? You cannot stop speaking. Can you remember the day that you gave your life to Jesus? Nah? If it moved, it needed to know that Jesus is alive, right? Do you remember those days? Some of you need to think further back than others. But do you remember those days where Jesus pitched in your life and something happened and all you went like... I remember those days. I mean, my poor parents. Suddenly, I had an understanding and I was like, man, I'm going to let it rip. And I gave them... And like I said, if it moved, I preached the gospel. Even the dogs. But you see, when we encounter the kingdom of God, we will speak of the glory of his kingdom. If you listen to what is being spoken around you, what is it currently? Is that the kingdom of God? So what are we encountering? And then, that second part, they will tell of your power. When you encounter Jesus, there is power that is released. You know, that is where people get set free, where demons live, where sick are healed, where the dead is raised, that kind of stuff. If I see Scripture, I see that happening when Jesus is there, when the kingdom of God is coming. Okay? And then verse 12 says, they make known to make known to your children, to the children of man, your mighty deeds. So the reason, or when we encounter the kingdom of God, what happens, we start speaking about it, and we make known to man the power of God, the deeds of God, the mighty deeds of the Lord. Do you still see mighty deeds in your life? Do you actually have an expectation for that? Or are you actually fine just kind of just going through the motions? Do you wake up expecting to see God's kingdom manifest every day in your life? That is what we should have. That is the expectation that you and I should. Why? Because we've got this loving, powerful, incredible Father who is involved in our lives, and all we have to do is go like, Lord, let your kingdom come. What happens if the kingdom of God comes into my workplace of work? Well, my place of work is amazing. Kingdom. Okay, and yours. You know, people will see the splendor of his kingdom because it's an everlasting kingdom. And his dominion endures through all generations. So what is the result? Your works will give you thanks. I love that. Your works, which is us, the people that is made in his image, will give him thanks. We will speak of his kingdom, his rule, his love, his salvation, his deliverance. We will speak of those things. We will tell of his powerful deeds in our lives. You know, I always say to people, when you are in the workplace, you know, live like Christianity or speak like Christianity is normal. You know, that's not weird. You know, so when you speak to someone in work, you know, the fact that you're hearing God, speak like it's the thing. It's normal. It's like it should be. Don't go weird. Why? To make known his deeds, his splendor. That's what happens when we encounter the kingdom of God. You see, the kingdom of God is not a boring kingdom. Some people think so. Some people look at those that are part of the kingdom of God, and then they go like, well, that's boring. We will know a Christian wees. You know, who wants to be a Christian? Because they're the boring people. You know, we're not boring because it's doofing and we're drinking and, you know, we're doing stuff. And so, but the Christians are all boring. I have so much fun. None of you, right? He's by quiet. Ooh, okay. We'll have fun tonight. Yeah, different. We can be glad without alcohol. How's that? Come on. It's way cheaper, if nothing else. I mean, come on. Yes. You see, the kingdom of God is an ever-advancing kingdom. It keeps on moving, and we need to understand that. You know, when we look at our situation today, we might even go, where's the kingdom? What's happening to the kingdom? You know, is the kingdom still actually advancing? What is the problem here? Lord, have you left us because we see nothing happening? Maybe what's changed is our expectation and our the stuff that influences us has overridden our expectation for the kingdom of God to be active and powerful and advancing in our day and age. You see, when we are in his kingdom, we need to speak about this to those around us. We need to be bold because his kingdom is exciting, actually. Nah? If the kingdom that you are part of is boring, stagnant, or lifeless, then you should ask yourself, what kingdom am I actually part of? Because I've served Jesus now for 30-odd years, and I cannot say that it's boring. It's good fun. You know, I think some people, or many of us as Christians, we do the Superman thing. Who of you have watched Superman movies? This is now confession time. Kom, as jy Superman movie gekyk het, sit gooi hand in die lig. All right, so we've all watched Superman. What is Superman about? He's this incredible guy. call him what you want. Okay, so he's an island, but he, you know, is, as we know him, when we see him, you know, he's like very powerful and there's stuff that happens. But generally, he's what? Clark Kent. Okay, so he's got that nerdy glasses on and he, you know, he fumbles over stuff and he, you know, he's just like, oh, come on. I mean, even the lady he likes doesn't like him because he's just like a klutz. And you know, this poor guy, and he comes over as this doffel. You know, I said, oh, man, come on, man. Are you a man? Just man up and do something, you know. And he's just, and he's like, but when the moment comes, I mean, he rips open that shirt. And that S comes out, and I don't know, maybe his pecs and stuff starts popping out, you know, because you don't see that when he's Clark Kent, but suddenly, he's all ripped and everything, and then, he's often, I think some Christians live like that, where we like, you know, we in our daily life, we're just like nerds. We just, you know, we stumble and we're so scared to make anything. Anybody notice that we are Christians? Just don't notice that I'm a Christian. So I'm very bedeased and I'm, you know, very careful. I don't say nothing, you know, and if you say anything, I'm like, but when the moment arises on Sunday, not true. Or maybe Wednesday on small group, suddenly the shirt is out and I mean, I'm in full picked and ripped and everything. I know scripture and I'm going to do this and I'm there. And then what happens the rest of the week? Is that not true? If we look at, I mean, obviously none of you. We say we are just normal people. Are you really just a normal person? But we act like we are just normal people. We've got the hidden S, J. Yeah. The A to J. The addicted to Jesus. That's a common song, just for those that don't know. Chris. And a few others. All right, so you see, the reality is here that we need to understand, maybe just remind ourselves of this morning, is that we are sons and daughters of the Most High God. We are kingdom children. We are joint heirs with Jesus Christ. We are our inheritance is very powerful stuff. When Jesus left, he said, this is all yours. Fatum Fluffy. And the disciples did that. And there's the select few that really press in and push in to see the kingdom of God come. They see powerful things happens. And then you just send someone on a mission trip. And they come back because now they're not in their comfort zone anymore. You know, there they suddenly will pray for someone. Okay, they're scared. You know, maybe they'll prophesy over someone. They'll share a word or anything. But they come back with the J on the outside. Have you noticed that? Because suddenly they're back in that space where anything that moves, they're going to preach the gospel. Because they've seen the power and the glory and the majesty of the kingdom of God being made manifest wherever they were. Why is that different to our daily walk? Why don't we expect that? Do we fall so easily in that rut that we don't expect to walk in that anymore? We are okay with His kingdom not coming where we are. I don't think, and listen, I think for myself sometimes, my expectation to see His kingdom come where I am is not what it should be. That I do the Superman thing and I cover it up and I'm just like, ooh, yes, no, it's seen. So let's read this. 1 Corinthians 4 verse 20 says this. For the kingdom of God does not consist in talk, but in power. The kingdom of God does not consist just in talking. Yes, we need talking. Some of the other scriptures say that, a version says that a bit differently. But the point here that I'm making is that it exists in power. There is power that needs to be revealed There's power that need to flow through those that are the sons and the daughters of God. Listen, we have been given dominion on this earth by Jesus. You know, when he with Adam and Eve, he said, listen, go forth and multiply and have dominion over this earth. This is what we, while we're here, this is what we do. When Jesus died, he said, go and make disciples and teach them. I will say almost the same instruction of that, listen, I am sending you to do this. And what happens when Jesus sent the disciples? When he sent them, you know, did they just go around and preaching the gospel and then many came to Christ? No, there was powerful things that happened. Saints, I believe it's time where we actually need to step out in boldness. Pray for those that is around you. Prophesy. Speak God's word. Let the gifts of the Holy Spirit just flow through you wherever you are. Let the kingdom of God come where you are. Don't just limit it to Sundays or Wednesdays or wherever you engage other Christians, but let it flow wherever you are. Matthew, listen, this is who we are. Matthew 16, 17 to 18 says, and these scenes. Yes, the movie scenes will follow these. And these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. Who casted out demons recently? They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up serpents with their hands. And they will drink any deadly poison and it will not hurt them. They will lay their hands on the sick and they will recover. You see, what God is calling us to is not this passive, lazy, not powerful walk before Him. I am so convicted that, you know, God's kingdom is an advancing kingdom and I want to see more of this in my life, in your life. As we flow through this, as we walk in this, as we do not allow the kingdom of darkness to dictate our lifestyles, but we allow the word of God to shape us, to mold us, to clarify our identity, and then we start walking into that. You see, the casting out of demons and stuff is not just for the pastor. In the week, sometimes we have to go and see him. It's for us that have been sent by Jesus. Romans 14, 17 says this, the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, which we love doing, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. What happens when I take righteousness? What happens when I take peace? What happens when I take joy with me every day? In the Holy Spirit, wherever I am. You see, the kingdom of God, that righteousness, that joy, that peace needs to come. That's the kingdom of God. Would you say that people around you currently have righteousness, peace, and joy? I would say everything except. And here, through the Holy Spirit, that is the anointing that is on you and my life. That is the very thing, the fruit that we need to bear wherever we find ourselves. Now listen, is your job hard? Is the deadlines hard? Is whatever you're facing hard? Yes. You see, that's why I need to be in the Holy Spirit. Because in this flesh, I cannot make it happen. So I guess my question is, what happened to our saints? What happens to the church? Where is the church at this time? Have we become distracted? Did the devil succeed in deceiving us? Now, is he, you know, has the devil succeeded in pushing us down and we're not going to walk this walk of power before God? Are we not going to bear the fruit of the kingdom? You know, have I stopped pursuing God? Has other things become important so that I'm running after those things? And then I want to say individually, but also corporately. And not just this church, but the church in general, where do we find ourselves? And I think this is important questions for us to consider, because I believe as God is about to change these things around for our good, we need to be ready. You know, it's like those maidens standing with their lamps. The one lot was full, the others weren't. There was those that were prepared and those that are not. Are we prepared for what Jesus is about to do? Is our lamps full? I love Revelation 21, verse 5 to 8. It says this. And he who was seated on the throne said, behold, I am making all things new. He's the one that sits on the throne, and he's saying, I'm making all things new. And he also, and he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. And he said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. Do I still believe that? Check your heart. Do you still believe that he is the beginning and he is the end? To the thirsty, I will give from the spring of the waters of life without payment. To the one who conquers, the one who conquers will have this heritage. This is the heritage that the one who conquers receives. I will be his God, and he will be my son. And verse 8 is very tough. He says, but for the cowardly, the faithless, the detestable, as for the murderers, the sexually immoral, the sorcerers, the idolaters, and the liars, their portion will be in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death. You see, what I want to just lift out here is that I believe God is about to make things new. Do we have that? Do I have that expectation? In the midst of everything that I'm facing at the moment, you know, even Narsa's word, you know, we're facing stuff. Do I have the faith to say, God, but you are about to do stuff in my life? Incredible stuff. I'm waiting. I'm kind of like just looking, seeing, what are you about to do? To recognize that he is still the Alpha and the Omega, that he is the beginning and end. And I love this, that he says, to the thirsty. So how thirsty are you at this moment for the kingdom of God to come? How thirsty am I to see these things? Because when I'm thirsty, he says, man, I will give him some of that spring of living waters. Man, it's just going to come. And I'm coming to him. I'm expecting him to fill me up. See, I guess it's when I start pursuing other stuff and letting them fill me up, then it drives out the things of God in my life. And I need to tank up with the waters of living water in my life. And then I have that inheritance that he's my father and I am his son. You know, and just in that, our identity, saints, of who we are is crucial. And then if the devil can shift that in your life, if you can move what you think or who you think you are in Christ, everything changes. It's when I continually run to him. So how do I conquer and overcome? First, according to John 3, verse 3 to 6, he says you must be born again. You have to receive Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. That is the first step. The second thing is you need to disarm sin to advance the kingdom. You see, I cannot dabble with sin. I cannot say that I'm faith, but I'm actually in fear. I cannot do things that is contrary to the kingdom. I need to deal with those stuff in my life. I need to take authority, chase them out, get rid of them. I need to disarm sin in my life. If there's stuff that I'm pursuing that I shouldn't, then I need to repent and say, Father, forgive me. You see, this is not just a physical, this is a spiritual battle. And we need to understand this. So disarm sin in your life. You know, in repentance again, is I'm walking this way and then I turn around and I completely walk away from, never to engage that again. So you can't do this. Forgive me, Father, for it's nice. Then be filled with the Holy Spirit. You know, when we walk in the Spirit, we will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. We will not fulfill the desires of our flesh. When I walk in the Spirit, when I have that intimacy with the Holy Spirit and with the Father and with the Son, I can tap from them. They actually change the way that I see life. Now, do I see my daily life through the eyes of the Spirit? Or am I looking at it through the eyes of the flesh? Do I have hope right now because I sense what the Holy Spirit is about to do? Or do I only fear the future? And we all sit with bated breath as the president's going to speak tonight. I think, no? Is he speaking tonight? Well, we hope he's speaking somewhere. But you see, does that determine my joy my righteousness, my hope, my peace? Or is it in the Holy Spirit? And then bear fruit to advance the kingdom. It's like that analogy that Jesus uses, like the yeast that goes through the whole dough. You know, when you put yeast in dough, it doesn't just stay there in its corner. You know, maybe the bread will rise. I will just stay here in my corner. No, 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 it's not the job of yeast. It spreads through the whole dough, and then we... So can we spread through the whole world? Can we bear fruit in every sphere of life? Can I encourage you this morning to not walk by fear, but to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit wherever you find yourself? To have that righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit flood everything that you do. So that we can also obey Matthew 28, which says, go. It didn't say sit and preach the gospel. He said, go. We bear the fruit. And the most secret ingredient of them all for you to conquer and overcome is this, is your desire for God's kingdom. Your desire to see Him and His presence come in your life. I guess the question I should ask myself, how potent is my desire for that kingdom to come? And this is not a short-term thing, this is a long-term thing. This is where you have to count the cost. That regardless, Father, of what comes my way, I will pursue you. And then, of course, walk daily with the King. Make time for Him. Read your Bible. Pray. Minister. Flow in the Spirit. Allow God just to move you. Speak of the things that He's done in your life. Have joy. You know, if we say, who wants to testify on a Sunday, we should have a riot. I should have to, like the Pope, have a glass cage in a hole. I could just put the mic through. I'm joking. But you see, we should walk in such a way in the kingdom of God and the power that we want to share the whole time of what is happening. It should bubble up in our lives, through our mouths, everything. It must spill over to those that are around us. And I guess, will you allow God to make you new today? Like He says when He sits on His throne, I want to make everything new. He says, because when I heal to Him and I say, Father, I have this brokenness, I have this scar, I have this thing that is not so like, will you please heal it? And He will heal it. Will you touch my fear? Will you touch my unbelief? Because sometimes we are in unbelief. Because we look at what we see and we go like, how can I do this? You know that you and I, wherever you are the anointed Son of God to be in that place. He didn't say you will like it necessarily, just by the way. But He places you there because what is His agenda? His agenda is people. Not your deadline, not your bottom line, not any line. It's people. Will you allow God to heal your brokenness, to light that fire in your spirit again, so that you will be like that one who just received Jesus Christ and cannot stop talking? Can we inspire one another to be like that? When we get to small group, or when you invite someone over for a bride, can we inspire one another to see the kingdom come? To the thirsty, He will give from the springs of the water of life without payment. Are we thirsty this morning? Are we thirsty for the kingdom of God? And you know, I cannot answer that question for you, but I do want to stir your heart to go, Father, help me to be thirsty. And it's when I'm in the presence of God, when I seek His face, that thirst starts stirring. It's when I read the word that thirst stirs. Where He comes and He floods me and He fills me to overflowing. And then everything changes. My day changes. Everything will change and be transformed. Saints, I want to encourage you that flowing in the gifts of the Spirit, walking in His anointing is not limited to a Sunday or a Wednesday. It's not limited to Bible school or encounters or whatever else we do. The kingdom of God needs to come wherever you are every day. So I want you to pray that prayer with expectation. Father, let your kingdom come. Father, let your kingdom come. On earth, as it is in heaven. You know what happens in heaven? Amazing stuff. And we want to see that happening in our day and age. Amen? Let's stand.